something went on here, something went on there. And
this time on TNT.
The roster for Toronto Men's League hockey team Lebad.
The Stomp the Stigma golf tournament's back.
And radio's favorite morning poo crew. That's all coming up right now on TNT. And now, et maintenant, the starting lineup for the Lebad Men's League team playing in Toronto. This is real life, guys. This is a real team from Toronto. This is the real lineup, guys.
On left wing, number 94, Aaron Goddard.
Al gauche, numéro 94, Aaron Goddard.
Right wing, number 77, Evan Bonsall.
Al droit, numéro 77, Evans Bonsall.
Center, number 23, Mike Hood.
Centre, numéro 23, Mike Hood.
Defense, number 89, Andrew Brandt.
Défense, numéro 99, Andrew Brandt.
Defense, number 2, Scott Watson.
Défense, numéro 2, Scott Watson.
Left wing, number 5, Ryan Thompson.
Aile gauche, numéro 5, Ryan Thompson.
Right wing, number 33, Brian Key.
Aile droit, numéro 33, number 33, Brian Key.
Center, number 42, Liam Goddard.
Centre, numéro 42, Liam Goddard.
Defense, number 86, Mike Orlando.
Les frères d'Orlando. Défense numéro 86, Mike Orlando. Et puis, défense numéro 4, Frank Orlando's.
Defense number 4, Frank Orlando.
Et gardien du but, goalie. Il y a seulement un, numéro 1, number 1, Joachim Holmgren's.
That is goalie number 1, Joachim Holmgren.
How much do you love that? There's an actual men's league hockey team playing in Toronto, and their name is Lebads.
Lebads.
And they sent us the logo of the jersey, right?
Yeah, maybe they can fire that up on the PA at the beginning of the games.
I know. Like, maybe we should look into, like, buying an ad on the boards or something. How do we officially sponsor these masks?
Jerseys.
We should send them some like Under Armour t-shirts to wear under the gear or something.
Yeah, for sure, man. We could get a sponsor on the jersey if we pay for them.
I love
that. If we do like the soccer team where it's like, I don't know what it was, $1,100 to get the shirts.
I know, you know.
Taggart and Torrens on the back. Remember we did that. That was great.
Yeah.
My soccer team.
I don't know if it translates to like, oh, well, I should listen to that thing because I saw it on my kid's soccer jersey. But I like the idea that you can get your name on stuff.
Yeah, for sure. And you're helping out.
You're helping out.
Sponsorships. Yes.
Well, at the very least, maybe we have some old tour t-shirts we could send Lebad to wear under their gear or something.
Yeah.
Thanks for calling it that. That's such a kick. That's really fun to think about.
Yeah.
Especially
it's
people they're playing against who are like, Les Bats, what even is that? If you know, you know.
Yeah, especially with the Orlando brothers.
Oh, the greasy Orlando brothers.
They will take you out in the corners.
Ripping clappies from the hashies. Just... right? They're taking slap shots on breakaways, those greasy Orlando brothers. You know they are.
Yeah. You don't see turnovers when they're on the ice.
No. I wonder, like, they probably, like, throw blows at each other sometimes, like when
they're their own worst enemies.
Mike and Frank Orlando. Uh-oh, here come the Orlando brothers.
Yeah. Hey, come on, Mikey, what's the problem? Why you gotta be such an asshole right for all the guys?
The Orlando brothers, they're both defense.
Yeah, I know, that's it. When the puck's in their end, it's coming back out. You're not getting past them.
I wonder if they always play together. You pointed out they only have one goalie. What happens if Joachim doesn't show up?
I know. That's like the classic. There's only one because the backup means you're just sitting there all night all the time.
Yeah, right. And that's not fun.
No, it's not.
So I'm going to say Yoakum's probably pretty reliable because I'll tell you something. Frank Orlando doesn't want to strap on the pads if Yoakum doesn't show
exactly.
up.
Exactly.
Hey, it's try it out, man. It's fun. It's not fun.
I got a goalie. I got a goalie again today. Fuck.
There was a TV show a few years ago. I think it was on Showcase called Rent a Goalie. And I think it's born out of a real thing. You can rent a goalie for your league, right?
Yeah. Like fire it up on Craigslist or whatever, that idea of like online finding a guy.
Yeah.
For sure. It's a thing. Definitely.
So big week in the Taggart universe.
Yeah. I went down to see my bud Tim Oxford, and spent a couple days there golfing and hanging out with Sarah and Olivia. That was great.
It was nice. How's he doing?
He's doing fantastic. That's a beautiful spot, and they got a great scene down there. They got good friends. It's amazing. So I was good to kind of decompress down there for a couple days.
Did he smoke you some meat or anything?
Yeah, he did. He made some wicked chicken thighs on the Traeger.
Whoa.
Yeah, it was pretty awesome. And he, you know what? He's baking bread like a monster and different kinds of things.
Really?
Like he made these buns for dinner that were fantastic, but also in the morning he made this like kind of like a crepey vibe. It's in a cast pan, iron pan, and it inflates.
Wow.
And then it goes back down. It's almost like, I don't know what he makes it with, milk and eggs and yeast and stuff, but it's pretty baller move.
Like in
Sunday
the
morning.
In the naan family?
What kind of crepey, kind of Yorkshire pudding-ish, a little bit. But like, you put fruit and some icing sugar on there, and it's wicked. Solid eats. But yeah, he's always got something on the go with baking or cooking or smoking. So
well, I feel
it's
like
cool.
Crepes are having a moment.
Are they?
Yeah, I think so. I've seen like creperies popping up all over the place. So what is this situation with the Traeger? Is that the high-end smoker? Is that the one you want?
I think so. It seems to be. Like, I don't know much about smoking and that stuff. All I know is like I know my way around a barbecue a bit, but not the next level of like, you know, firing it up to 250 for 3 hours or 5 hours or whatever. That's a little bit out of my realm.
So how has like getting back to live music been for him? Is he psyched or he's quite domesticated these days?
Yeah. Well, I mean, they had those Bud stage shows, and that was awesome. And I think they did like Newfoundland and, did they do the Iceberg Alley or George Street? I'm not,
One of those. I think I saw them on George Street. It must be George Street.
Yeah. But anyway, they've done a few, but, they said it's been awesome and they have a new record coming out. The Blink Once.
Yes, they do.
So again, like they just don't stop. It's nonstop with the Arkells in their greatest way. Cause they're just on top of it all in all formats. So I think it's going to be a good year for them coming up here.
Great.
It's going to be sweet.
Are they putting together a big run or they're still kind of waiting to see where things land?
I think it's a little bit of both, probably, you know, because they'll be out there hardcore once they can full time. But yeah, kind of wait and see how this fourth wave goes. Hopefully it's going to be good. But then we had a home and home basically. So he came to my house on Monday for the Stomp the Stigma golf tournament.
Nice.
Yeah, which was members only this year, a lot smaller, but still, it was still great. I mean, Tim came, Dan O'Toole came, you know, Michael Landsberg was there.
Nice.
A lot of great personalities from the sports world for sure. From Brian Mudrick to obviously Rod Black again hosted it. And we were missing Lego, Ian Leggett. Took a job down in Florida. His kids are down in the States, so he's not at Summit anymore. So we're missing Ian, even though he went to St. George's for a hot minute in between there.
Oh, so he's gone.
Yeah, he's down in the States now. So we missed his presence, but it was great to kind of, I guess in a sense, it's really mourning what that tournament is, what it feels like, especially at the dinner when Bob and Travis speaks, and everybody kind of shares their story. Kendra Fisher was there. She had some great words, and this has been the first time I spoke since James's passing. So that was kind of emotional for me.
Okay.
And to kind of, you know, we started this tournament just in the idea to curb suicide, but it really ended up being, you know, all of a sudden being a victim in it. It changes it for me. Also, just from the perspective of, I went into this thinking, you know, let's stop suicide and never let it happen again. And there's a way to do that. And the way that situations ended up for James, that wasn't the case. I mean, there has to be an understanding that sometimes it's okay to let somebody go, you know, because of the way he did it and just the way his life was. He just was just had a hard time, and in a sense, it was more than just depression. It was a lot more than that. So I think you have to understand. I think looking back, it's just the best thing I can think about it, in a sense, is just I wish I was just a little more light with him and not heavy, because his life was so heavy. I'm sure he was just dealing with everybody talking like they're in an intervention, you know what I mean? And I just wish I was more, how's it going? How's the weather? Tell him a joke, you know? Those are the things that I miss the most about him, because he was so funny and so smart. So, it's just, anyway, it was nice to, I guess, share my story and, get a sense of mourning and healing by seeing, you know, in everyone's eyes, the realization and the solidarity and the fact that everybody knows somebody that's in that boat, either on the pathway or it happened to them. Or any of those things. So it's just such an emotional day, and you realize it's important to mourn. You know, that's it. It was nice to be with all these people and to feel that warmth and just moving forward, but it always kind of takes me out for a few days.
Yeah, you know, of course.
Because it's intense, and it's not something that just disappears or gets easier even. So it was a great day.
Well, you taught me that, and I think about it all the time. How people that are in a dark place maybe don't want to talk about it, and maybe what they need is a distraction or a laugh, or to be reminded that the world is bigger, or that. Even just that you're there says most of it. So for you to speak at something like that, do you write that or do you wing it? Or
I can't. Yeah, I can't. I can't prepare for talking from that stance. And if I did try to prepare it, I would probably forget things or not have it the way it's supposed to be. And I've always believed in, same with when I play drums, like the best ideas come from when I'm not thinking.
Right.
And just letting it flow. So I've always trusted my instinct when I'm talking or trying to, you know, give a speech in some manner. Like there's too much to think about, and there's too much if I were to try and, it's different if I was writing, like with our book, you know, you write and that becomes the same as speaking. And you might want to tweak certain things, but for me, I just say everything, and I'm sure it's not going to come out perfectly, but the points will be there and the understanding will be there. And
the feeling.
Yeah, for sure. Definitely.
How's Toolsy?
He's good, man. He's doing fantastic. Yeah. It was nice to see everybody there. There were so many great people. The members there are so amazing. And the people in the corporate community that help us every year. Just really solid people, and it's nice to see it for sure. It was great.
Who was in your foursome?
I had a bunch of bods. I had Gord, Sean, Dave, and Chris.
Gord from the Hip?
I'm surprised they're all... No, just bods. Just members and friends and people that were at Summit.
Nice.
Summit Golf Course. So that's what I mean. Like, everybody there, everyone at that course themselves are just such nice people, and they care so much about the event, and the support is so clear.
Well, not that this is what it's about at all, but incidentally, how did you golf?
We were good. We were second place. We got to, we were 12 under with a bogey. So that's pretty good.
Zium.
Yeah, no, we played pretty good. I didn't contribute as much as in at most others, but I had a great day and it was fun. The awesome. Golf was good.
Because it did not happen last year.
Yeah, we obviously last year was canceled, and this year was looking canceled. So we just, Bob decided to you know, just make it a little smaller, and just, we kind of had to do something just to maintain it in the sense. And it was a great idea that it happened the way it did. So cheers to Bob and Marla for all the work that they put in every year, because it's a lot of organizations and phone calls and stuff like that.
And they're such sweet and kind people.
Jeff and Lindsay is just such a great family, and I'm glad to have gotten to know them so close, and I'm glad to call them friends, you know.
Yeah, they're great people. And you imagine for them, if you lost a loved one, your son in that way, it would feel so great to see all the people come out and know all the good that it's doing, but it also must be painful for them all over again every year. It's a very loving and selfless thing to do in his memory, you know?
It is. And it really is a heavy day, and but so important. And anybody, like I said, anyone who's been there and it comes, they understand instantly how heavy it actually gets in a necessary way. That's the best way to put it, I think.
Yeah, the reason is never very far from the surface.
Absolutely, that's it for sure. So yeah, what about your week? You've been up to stuff like crazy too, I'm sure.
Well,
speaking
of Timbo, I met a couple dudes the other day who are from the Fort Erie.
No way,
yeah,
nice.
From Fort Erie, Ontario. And I was like, oh, a buddy of mine lives there. And I think, doesn't Maddie Matheson, the chef, live there?
Yep. He lives there. He lives right by Cherry Hill Golf Course where we played.
Does he?
Yeah.
I didn't. Oh, so you and Tim played down there.
Yes. Yeah. And then he came, obviously, and played on Monday.
Can you get out as a twosome down there? Or it's busy and they
we played with Bods Mark Forbes and Jack Gibson. They're super great guys and local community people that are really involved, and they really showed us a great time, man. Like, God, cheers to those guys for having us out at Cherry Hill, which is a beautiful, beautiful property.
Is Tim a member there?
He might be soon. It's one of those things. I don't want to step on any toes.
No, of course.
But it's because he's a member at Bridgewater. But
so
why
these,
not both?
These dudes that I met at that are from Fort Erie, here's what they do, and here's how the COVID is kind of getting them down. Because Fort Erie is 20 minutes from Buffalo, right?
Yeah, it's part of the life down there.
Exactly.
It's a huge part of their lifestyle.
So one of the guys that I met there said he refurbishes old cars. And so what he does is, because shipping to Canada is so expensive and duty is so expensive, he got a post office box in Buffalo. So he can get his parts shipped to Buffalo. And there's apparently a business down there that like specializes in, hey, Canadians, get a mailbox here if you need a mailbox. And So he goes to pick up the car parts in Buffalo because they're much cheaper and then brings them back across the border. He hasn't been able to get there in 2 years.
Yeah.
So that's really slowed his progress on refurbishing this vehicle.
Well, yeah. Plus, it's the culture is huge with the Bills, right? Like, everybody loves the Bills like crazy. And that idea of going to the game, and I guess the weekends are such a huge part of that culture, and hanging out and just crossing. I'm sure the restaurants are fantastic there. So just to kind of spread it out, because it's really the, you know, in comparison to Fort Erie, a massive city. So it makes sense that that would be
part of your deal. Was Fort Erie like a town? What is it? What is Fort Erie?
Yeah, it's kind of, it reminds me of like a smaller Barrie in a way. Like a small Barrie. I'm not sure how big it actually is. But it's on the lake. So there's some beautiful areas and spots there. But it's not a very big town.
But like, so you have to... is there a price club?
There's Costco and all that stuff for sure. There's everything.
That's pretty much how you gauge the size of a town. Like, Walmart big? Walmart. Is it Costco big?
Like... Well, yeah, like Walmart big would be like a city like Pembroke. Like, they're Walmart big. They have a Walmart, but they don't have a Costco. That you got to go to Ottawa to go to the Costco.
Right.
But Fort Erie, I think, has a Costco. So that's why it's like more like a Barrie, because Barrie has a Costco.
Does it?
Yeah, for sure.
When was the last time you were in Costco?
Last night.
Girl, where are you getting there?
I was just... food for the week, because our stove is finally in, the gas stove. So now we can cook and eat every night instead of have to get takeout.
Wait, so you have a stove and fridge now?
Yeah, nice. Yeah, so we've got everything, a dishwasher, stove, sink. They're connected. We don't have the sink is like just a laundry style sink that we have installed just for now. And we're going to put that in the basement once... we get everything done. So yeah, we put in the top cabinets from all the cabinets that Lisa scored. But we got new base cabinets, just the same people that did the closet in our room, the wall closet, which they did a wicked job on that.
Does it still feel like you're living in like a hard hat alley?
No, we're getting so close that there's no like RAM board or like cardboard on any floors now. So everything is feeling more like just the kitchen is a sore spot. Actually, what else I've been doing, I'm soundproofing the basement and making my drum room a legit like soundproof drum room.
Yes.
So that'll be done tomorrow.
Why are the, are the neighbors when you go outside like...
No, it's not the neighbors. It's in the house. Like, if I'm practicing for 6 hours, like the other day I did a 7-hour shift of just practice. So like that fills the house with just annoying banging I'll practice like very simply. So I'll play something very simple for like 40 minutes straight just to kind of refine it. And, so yeah, like John, there's a vent in his room where it's just like, it's pretty loud. So even though he's on like two floors away, right? So he's on, like, he's on the third floor and I'm in the basement just burling. So it's loud. It's probably loud for that. So that it's more for peace of mind of everyone in the house. I got this stuff, Sono pad. It's pretty wicked.
What
it's
is
like
that?
It's like a really dense, it's like a dense, thick kind of, it's like double what drywall would be in terms of thickness, but it's like compressed fiberglass kind of, and it just really deadens sound. So if you make a cube of it, then anything in there is not getting out, really. It just contains it completely.
But does that make the drumming experience less pleasant because it's an echo chamber, or it just absorbs it?
No, doesn't change anything, because I'm wearing earplugs or headphones when I'm drumming, so I don't care what it sounds like. It's just loud. really loud. So this just deadens the sound, and actually the drums will sound better because they're not just cascading all over like hard surfaces around me, you know. It'll be more just kind of, it'll stop, so you'll just hear a more closed sound.
How does it feel playing for 7 hours a day? Are you building like calluses on blisters?
No, because I'm just practicing with, I think the only thing that gives you really gives you blisters is concerts, you know, because it's just sweaty and you're playing louder. Like I get like calluses, and I think when you start playing, you know, shows where it's like crushing stuff for 90 minutes, that's when the calluses start to become blisters and then calluses again. It's almost like you have to go through a, like if a singer has to kind of lose their voice to get their voice back if they haven't been singing for a long time. The calluses and blisters kind of are like that, especially if it's like summer festivals. You can only practice so much, and then once you get out to that moisture and you're playing 90 minutes, then your fingers are like, yikes.
Ooh.
But yeah, I mean, it's good. It's helped out, like, just in terms of my own mental state, you know, just playing for a long time. It just kind of makes it's evening stuff out in a way. I don't know. Just feels better. And I'm more relaxed before and after.
Okay, so let me ask you something. Was the reason you were not playing as much because you didn't have your drum set up? There was nowhere to play in the old house?
Yeah.
Or timing?
Yeah,
or it was kind of both?
I could play, but it was like, because it was a thinner, like it was only 25 feet wide, that our old house. So there's neighbors close on both sides in the front window. And I just didn't want everybody to hear, because you could hear the drums for sure, like walking down the street. And I just felt that was just too much, and I didn't want to spend a bunch of money in the basement because we didn't have enough space to make just some drum room. It was like 2700 feet, but the basement itself was like, I don't know, not very big at all. So if I put drums in there, you couldn't even really do much down there.
So are you pumped now that you have a dedicated room?
Yeah, big time, for sure. Because it makes things easier. I mean, we used to, back in the OLP days, there was a rehearsal space that I could go to. And sometimes I would rent, go to the rehearsal factory or whatever, because it was like $20 for an hour. Sometimes I would do that. But yeah, set to make a drum room wasn't possible. And now it's perfect. Like there's so much space in the basement that it doesn't really affect anything. It's just, there was a little workshop there, and I'm just turning that into the different kind of workshop.
I guess the thing about renting a rehearsal space too is it's not your kit, and there's probably something to be said for actually wailing on your kit.
Definitely. Because, you know, part of it is like trying out new gear. Like I picked a new set of sticks with ProMark. So like they'd sent me a bunch of stuff, and I'm trying a bunch of heads too from Evans. And like Istanbul Agop sent me cymbals because there's new stuff, and just to kind of keep up on everything and get back into her. It's good.
Why? What changes in as far as drum technology?
For me, I wasn't like, I was playing thinner sticks, and just the way I've been playing lately, they just don't feel right. So I want a bigger stick. So I went to, I think they're called Rebounds, long 5A's by ProMark.
Cool.
The new stick I'm using. Yeah. You like that? And like I said, I haven't centered on a head, but I got, Istanbul Agop makes these Exist, they're called, and they're just thinner and bright.
So into it.
So I got a couple of those, and then couple of traditional Dark Crashes that are nice. 20, all 20 inch, like big ones. So yeah, bright cymbals and a couple darker cymbals.
I love the adjectives that are so unique to drumming. I was talking to someone yesterday who has a winery. And she was talking about how some wines can be mousy.
Yeah, like, what does
wait,
that mean?
What does mousy mean? And
mousy.
Apparently in wine, it means it tastes like corn chips. Like if it's a bad batch and it tastes like corn chips, then that is referred to as mousy wine. I don't think that's just her unique term for it. I think that's the actual term in the industry. But
yeah,
in our
sure.
house, we describe mousy as someone who like isn't fresh.
Oh, really? Like you'll say that? Like these chips are mousy?
Well, not about food. More like, I'm kind of mousy. I haven't. It's 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and I haven't had a shower yet today, or something.
Oh, really? That's mousy. I thought mousy was like shying away, like a person that doesn't like is trying to hide. Like,
well,
what
yeah,
are you
but
doing down
then
there?
There's also like mousy brown hair. So I guess it is an adjective that people use, but I don't think of those people as having hair that smells like corn chips.
Yeah. It's so funny with wine, like some of the things they'll talk about. And it's like, how's that a positive flavor?
Corn chip you know what I mean? Wine.
But they'll mention like types of wood or like types of stuff out in a forest. Like, how's that? Like dirt, you know, whatever.
Right.
Like a type of soil, like as a flavor. Like, get out of here, really?
It's an
like,
oaky vanilla creme brulee wet leaves. You know, combo.
Matt Kaz, our bud from 1050 TSN, he's a sommelier, I think. Like, he's got the... If he's not a sommelier, he's in that... He took a bunch of things to become something that's like that. But he would know all those words. Mousy. He does, like, he'll go take at a nice club, he'll be the guy, like, okay, here's this wine. Like, he's like that.
This next wine we're going to try is mousy.
Yeah.
Take a break, bud.
Yeah, let's take a break. E-rip.
So all the radio people are back to work.
Yeah.
Like they were ripping it from home for a year and a half.
Yeah, now they're all in studio again.
And they're giddy. And it's hard, as we've talked about before, the kind of morning zoo crew, like, hey, what? Right, those people.
Yeah.
So we listen to, I think it's called Hits One on Sirius Satellite XM when I'm taking the girls, and they go to different schools. So it's, you know, 20 minutes one way and then 20 minutes another way. So spending a fair bit of time in the morning listening to the radio.
Just banging the Dua Lipa.
Banging the Dua Lipa. Dua Lipa with the baby, like all of it. So there's the morning zoo crew or whatever they're called. It's two dudes and a gal, and she has like, so check this out, a dog went into a Walmart, like those kind of stories.
Well,
and they're
yeah,
all like, right,
sure.
What if I was that dog, man, I go straight for the donuts. Like that.
Yeah.
That stuff. So
yeah. You hear the Weeknd every other song too.
Yeah.
Right.
And Shawn Mendes. So they basically throw out bone, if you can even call it that, and then the three of them kind of pop culture bone, and the three of them fight over, I don't know, man, if that was me, well, I don't know, you know, you would do that, I wouldn't do that, I don't know, man, like that's the whole thing.
Yep.
So this morning on the drive to school, they were talking about how when people were working from home, they might have had regular restroom habits. But now that you're back at work, does how and where and when you use the restroom change? So it was just like, I don't know, man. When I was home, I could duck into a thing and do a thing. But now that we're back here, I don't know, man. Like, when do I go and where do I go? And people come in and after and stuff. And it opened this can of fecal worms.
Oh, God.
To the point where during the next hit, the DJ was like, our producer has asked us, can you please stop texting us your bathroom habits at work? Because people are like, you know what I do is I wait till, you know, everyone's at their desk and then I excuse myself from the meeting and I go to the family bathroom. Like people are going deep.
Well, I think it's more affecting the early morning crowd, I would assume.
So explain
like,
the biology behind that.
Well, if you're going to work at like 12 or 1 o'clock, you've already been up for, you know, 4 or 5 hours or whatever, so you're probably, that's a part of your day is dealt with.
Okay.
But for me, I always have to do that not that much longer after I'm walking around till in the morning.
Right. Is there some,
like... That's from instinctually
being on the road for so long that, like, being in a tour bus and having to hold it to, like, because it would always be you go to bed and then you're waking up in the city. So you lie down the whole time until you're there, because, you know, if you stand up, you'll have to go soon. So it's like you just lie down, and then, like, we get into the city. Like, if we're getting into a city at, like, noon, I'm not standing around hanging out having a coffee in the front lounge. Like, there's no way.
So you're just
unless I want to pull over at the Flying J, and, like, I'm not feeling that. I'd rather get up to the hotel and just, like, you know, get on with it.
So you have sometimes stayed lying down, even though you're rested and ready to get up, yeah, just because you don't want to stir things up.
Exactly, for sure.
On what occasion is it okay to say to the driver, you need to pull over, I'm sorry?
Well, like, if you're driving all day or something, then yeah, you're going to have to eventually put that into your schedule. But it's when it's like the bus is stopping. So, yeah, I think that's instinctually for me. But, like, I remember when I was doing, like, morning radio, filling in a week here and there, but or 2 weeks. It's like you get into the rhythm of, like, waking up at 4 o'clock in the morning, and it's different at that point. So at that point, you're like kind of rolling the dice more because it's just it's so early. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that was different. So, like, at that point, like, if you're doing morning television or radio, like, you probably might have to take a deuce at work on the reg.
Okay, so let's take it back even further, because we're doing exactly what the morning zoo crew was doing this morning, but now we're in it.
Yeah.
If you went to summer camp or baseball camp or sleepaway camp or any of that stuff, did you have any social discomfort about using the restroom when you were a kid?
No.
I did.
Like, not really. Like, because it was dirty or worried about it? I would pile on stuff onto it, and I couldn't, but I remember at camp, my best friend Alex, who you met, we were at camp for, I don't know, so it was a week, maybe 2 weeks, but he never went at all the whole time because he just didn't want to go in there.
I'm more of an Alex, and it has less to do with going in there, just more to do with, like, I don't know, other people milling around close by when you're doing that.
Yeah, I'm not feeling that. Like, I don't want to make noise in there.
Right.
Like, if I'm making noise, I'm really not feeling it.
Did you have family friends when you were a kid where you're in the bath and someone comes in to use the restroom?
Oh, for sure.
Really?
No, but, like, get out of here. Like, you're not finishing in there. Yeah, no way. But, like, at an airport or something, I'm flushing the toilet. Like, if that's, like, what's going on, I'm flushing the toilet every 2 seconds just to cover the sound.
Oh, interesting.
Bourgeois, just to cover the huge blast. That's so intense. Like, I'm, like, leaning forward and got one hand back on the thing just continually. The huge suck.
That's never occurred to me. What a great strategy.
Oh, yeah, or waving your hand in front of the thing, or pressing the button, whatever. Yeah, whatever it takes just to make that, like, 40-second huge sound, the jet engine taking off below you.
But I guess it's the person next to you thinking, wow, that person's flushed a lot, is better somehow than hearing the actual soundtrack of what's going down.
Yeah, I just feel uncomfortable. Yeah, and, like, the big rap, those huge farts. That's so disgusting. Like, there's no way. Like, if you give yourself a chance.
Gosh, or
brap, the big snappers and the poppers. Forget it. Or the big, like, sploosh, like, huge, like, to come on. Like, that's the worst. The big sploosh.
I can't believe we're actually talking about it for real now.
Bloop, 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 bloop. Like, come on. The guy who sits down and gets it done in, like, 2 seconds.
I feel like there should be a code among like, bathroom users that we don't make eye contact when you come out of the stall. If I'm on my way in and we both know what went down, we don't need to, like, seal that social contract with a knowing glance.
If you got the jets ripping all the whole time, it's like, who cares, you know? It's no big deal. It's bad, like feng shui or whatever, but it is what it is. At least it's not making noise.
Have you, I guess, in all your travels, like, is a Flying J better than a Come and Go, or are there chains that are notoriously clean or places you want to avoid?
Well, yeah, the ones where there's lots of truckers are always the best.
They're clean, right?
Clean, and the facilities are good, and you feel like there's lots of space, and you can find something far off into a corner, like huge bathrooms, so it's not so intimidating with all the peeps. Yeah, but that's the move.
Oh, yeah, like those things on the 401 where there's like a Tim Hortons and a Wendy's and a thing, and you can buy souvenirs, like those places with a row of 12 stalls.
Or 20.
Nobody wants 25. Any of that business.
Oh, you're not feeling the 12 stalls?
I'm not feeling it.
No, but those ones usually have more. They'll have the two rows. When you're in there and there's a lot of people that just, it's chaos, man. The sounds.
I guess the thing is, I'm wondering if your overall experience would make you less bashful about when and where you do it.
Or the farting while they're having a pee, like no problem. That one, like, come on.
Do people do that? It's bad enough
with, like, yeah, you just like, like just because you're in the bathroom, it's like, yeah, I fart in the bathroom. But if there's like an element, if there's those people that just seem like they're like, feelingless or so unself-aware that they can like be like that and not even have a sweat about it, even though I guess there's no reason to not do it. You're supposed to go to the bathroom to do it, but to be having to hear that the bye-bye boys like dropping bombs in the cavernous in the toilets, and then the guys ripping farts while they're having a big piss.
Like, I would think that if you're traveling on a bus and a band, maybe you're drinking things, maybe you're eating in weird restaurants, or your schedule's entirely off. Your diet's
kind of wacky.
Yeah. It's already like the worst case scenario for your GI system.
Yeah, for sure. Especially if you're touring and it's like, if you're going to Europe or something, and then your sleep is affected too.
Yeah.
So it's like there's all things. Your insides are going, what the hell's going on? I'm just trying to get it together here.
Coupled with the fact that you're not allowed to on the bus. And sometimes when you can't do something, that's when your body begs to differ. Like, there must have been some, let me out over the years.
Yeah, at that point, it's like either you're shitting in a bag in the toilet or shitting in a bag at the side of the road. It's the same diff.
Does that happen?
Yes, for sure. Like, upset stomach.
Brown bag in it?
Put a bag in the toilet and then go in that and then throw that out.
Wow.
That's when it's just like, yeah.
Like
Well, you can't put the solids down there, or else you're going to, you know, have to pay for it later. You don't want to do that.
So that's the bus company's deal.
Well, you probably could, everything. It's awful. It can ruin the bus. It can ruin the filters, everything. So it's just, it's very expensive to fix too.
You can't be doing things. That.
Yeah, for sure.
I feel like as a bus owner, that might be overstated, because they had to put the fear of God into you so you didn't.
Well, also, if it ever anything happened, the smell that you have to deal with every time you open that thing after and before peeing, this gas horrifying reek starts blowing up at you.
Right.
That the concoction you've created.
Oh yeah, now, it's bad. If you have the fan it's on now, above,
it's now it's a neighbor now. It's part of the butt, like the next, you know, the extra member in the group.
The Bubba Boys.
The Bubba Boys. Yeah, man.
So the question is, how early in the morning do you have to work that you're like, well, I can't do that before work?
It'd have to be like 4 o'clock, like Sid Sixero on breakfast television.
It's not happening before work.
I can't see it. Like, I don't know, unless he gets up at 2 o'clock. He's going to have a deuce at the station.
Oh, my gosh. It's such a visual. Or you just say, you know what? I'm going to retrain myself. I'm going to wait till I get home. Or who knows?
Are they on that early on breakfast television? No, they start at like 5?
I don't know. I it's probably like 6 to 9, but they probably have to be there at 4:30 to get makeup on and read the stories and stuff. Yeah. Depending on where you live, you're up at 3, you're up at 2:30. Yeah.
I forgot, like with TV, it's an extra hour and a half prep. For sure, like you're there at 3 o'clock reading the news.
Read through, put your suit on.
Producers telling you what to do. Get it together.
Checking stuff happened overnight. Having an extra coffee because it's early, and then your stomach's like, really?
Oh no!
You need to work with us, not against us.
He's probably got jogging pants just for that till like 10 minutes before he's going on to the stage.
Aww. So if you work at 9, you should be able to back time that.
He's got the Under Armour joggers going. With the big fancy top and the blazer.
Hey, got the sweatpants on.
And the shoes too. They're all dolled up, right? The tappers. Mm-hmm.
He's got Todd loafers on. Loafers.
With Under Armour because he can drag them over the shoes, right?
So if you work at 9, you should be able to like get up at 7 and make that work. But those, I feel sorry for them 6 o'clock in the morning maps. That's rough on the old system, man.
It's gotta be. It is. Like, most morning people that I've spoken to, it's a way you have to get used to it, but it still affects your life more than any other job because it's like, if you don't get sleep, you're screwed. If you don't take a nap, you're screwed. It's so, you have to be so meticulous and careful so you can get to sleep because everybody wants to hang out. You think, look, you can't stay up till 8. It's like, no, I have to go to bed. you're missing everything that's happening, you know? Not to mention if you're in the morning thing where you have to watch the Grammys and you have to watch the, you know what I mean? You got to be the Academy Awards. You got to watch that stuff. Well, so you're up till 11 o'clock.
So you can speak about it with authority. I remember talking to Seamus O'Regan when he was on Canada AM, and I think he was in like year 13 of getting up at 4:45 in the morning, or maybe the car came to pick him up at 4:45, and I was like, does it get easier? And he said, never. It never gets easier. It sucks every day. And imagine suddenly it's been 12 years of that.
No, I can't. I cannot. That's like going on like tour forever for like a band that you're not feeling.
So the first thing you do, you get into a city, you get your room key, and you make it right.
Well, yeah, the fun part is the 90 minutes that you play, and then you got to deal with figure out the next 20 hours plus of stuff.
But I mean stomach-wise.
Yeah,
you get to the city, you get your room key, you go to your room, and you settle up.
Especially if they're boozing, if like you're, you know, out having drinks and partying and then like getting 3 hours sleep.
Like the bust must have an essence of its own.
Well, the bus is different because the bus is the party room.
It's but aren't there 12 people having chunks of air on the bus all night?
Yeah. You mean like just too many bodies, you mean?
No,
like,
well, everyone, do people have passed gas on the bus?
Oh, I don't know, but there's occasional. Yeah, snoring becomes a bit of an issue. I would wear earplugs every night. Right into my ears, thick earplugs.
Night now.
Yeah, night now. I can't even hear my own thoughts. Just me and my breath.
And you're probably the loudest snorer of all, but you don't even know because you have earplugs in.
Yeah, no, I never snored. But yeah, we had tour managers that snored, and it sounded like a chainsaw going off.
And there's nothing you can do about it.
No. So they would always be like, the only thing you could do is try and get the furthest away, the bunk furthest away.
Are bottom bunks the ones you want? It's middle, isn't it? Yeah, right.
Yeah, the middle's the hot one. The middle right. Like the passenger side middle's front, first one up. That's the money bunk.
Why?
It's just to get to. I don't know. There's something about it that's just the best one.
Like, is that everyone agrees, or that's your preference?
Well, I can't see how else anyone else would agree, because it's easy. A middle bunk's great because you can, you don't have to get down or up, reach or anything. It's all right in front of you, and I don't know, the front, just because it's closer to the front, and the engine's in the back, so you're a little bit further from the engine, so you get a quieter ride.
Huh. And I bet, like, if and you're also, over the wheel wells, you feel every bump.
Well, no, also, when you're in the top bunk, you feel the turns and you feel the movement way more. When you're on the bottom, that's a bonus of it, but when you're on the bottom, you also hear the hum of the engine more. So that's why the middle one's the best. It's another good argument for it.
Does the band get to pick their bunks first?
Yeah, that was like, we definitely had hierarchy of bunks where it's like the band had the first four bunks and then the crew had the back four.
I guess that's fair. And
yeah, I guess it's because it's just like if you're on the road and it's just the band's trying to get sleep, and if the one dude's snoring, and it usually was our tour manager that was ripping it, so he would always go to the back. He would be like, yeah, just I'll just sleep in the back lounge. Like, no, he can't sleep in the back lounge.
Why, because of his snoring?
Yeah, it was loud. Yeah, like a chainsaw. I'm not kidding.
It's rock and roll, man.
Like if there's the sound of a growling dog outside of your bunk window.
Forget it.
Howling dogs.
That's the kind of stuff that can grate after a while.
Yeah. No, but he was a great guy otherwise, so like it just let it slide. And snoring's just, yeah. Forget about it. Snoring's not cool.
Also, the hotel room tours are better than the shower room tours, right?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Because you have your own space and you can hang out, for sure. Turn on the local radio.
And hear them talking about where people use the restroom at work.
That's what I would always do. Try and find the local, like classic rock or oldie station.
This is the weird thing about the Morning Zoo crew, though. Tell me an anecdote, and I'm going to do what the guy that she's talking to says. Like, tell me about what Shawn Mendes was wearing to the Emmys last night.
Okay. Hi, Glint.
Hey. What's up?
Did you see what Shawn Mendes was wearing last night?
Yeah, man, yes.
Did you see the color of his suit? It was.
I know,
did
right?
Did you see it? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
That's like they didn't, you can tell they didn't see it.
Not even listening, like, just jumping in like this, right. Loves it's the sound of their bad. Own voice so much. It's not really back and forth. They laugh at the setups. They kind of miss her punchlines. It's a really interesting study in morning radio.
And is it like, are they known people in like New York or LA? Is that what it is?
I don't know. I think they're in New York.
So it's obviously a good gig. It's not like.
Yeah, I think so. But every, once an hour they throw to her for like, so tell us, it was a thing with Selena Gomez. Yeah, apparently she got home and her alarm was going off, but there was no one in her house. Oh, that's good. Yeah, love Selena. Me too.
Oh, you're
right.
And the guy's voice is always super loud.
Yeah.
And then like, oh, he comes so you in hear really every hot. Little, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then she has to button every point she makes with like, so apparently Shawn Mendes and Camila Cabello were seen as a thing. And then she's like, ah, but I ship it. I'm here for it. Like, it always has to have a someone told her, like, you should weigh in with how you think of what you think about this stuff, because that really makes it personal. So every single thing is like, I mean, I wouldn't want to do that if I was them. But then again, I'd like to have their money. Like, the most, it's a first draft. Everything they do is a first draft.
Oh, man. And that just makes me sad if you're trying to get around. Well, it's actually kind of makes it funny, too.
Makes it super funny. Because it's like,
they're more hired for their voice than what they're saying.
Right, right. Almost. I know, right? Anyway, sometimes stuff we do is a first draft, too. It ain't easy being perfect.
I hear it in a year, too. And it's great, man, when you hear guys just riffing, and you know it's like they do not mean it at all, but they're talking about like how much they love something.
And they're laughing. Just to laugh. There's no joy in it.
I love that. I love that so much.
Good chatting, bud.
Meanwhile, their program director's giving them a glean, like, more energy.
Yeah, higher energy, guys. When you laugh, like, that stuff's infectious. Okay.
All right. Oh, yikes. Good chatting is right.
See you next week, bud.
See you, bud.